This is Rating Descending,
where we watch IMDb's worst 250 so you don't have to.
My name, Abigail Ward.
My name, Michelle St. Clair.
And tonight, we watched You Got Served. In order to achieve their dream of opening a recording studio, two friends, Omari and Houston, must first win their city's dance contest, a fierce competition that pits them against a group of tough street dancers. Let's watch. Terrible.
That's not the movie I watched.
Tough street dancers?
They dream of opening a recording studio?
Wait. Yeah, do they?
Maybe.
I thought they just dreamed of having a crew and winning dance
competitions. I thought they dreamed of not getting killed by the fucking mob.
I don't remember that at all either. Just thrown by the fact that they
it's
included
cool.
the actors' names in the tagline. Where have we been? That's what happened.
I've been a little sick.
She's been a sick girl.
I've been a sick little girl.
And, you know, I've just been really emotional as well, so it's also kind of my bad. I've been crying nonstop.
Yeah. Oh, I've not just been sick. I've had a bad few weeks, baby.
We've had a tough time.
Last week, maybe the sickest I've been in a while. And it was not COVID, and I still haven't had COVID, but it was a cold.
And
some
kind. We were due to record, and Michelle was like, I can't do it. And I know that she's got to be pretty fucking sick to bow out of things because she'll really push herself through anything.
Specifically, it was that we'd set up a record, and then I wasn't feeling well, and then we had a backup record, and then I blew out my voice from what was, I thought, a sore throat being overused. And then our backup, hey, turns out I woke up and I was really sick.
Yeah.
And also, still blown out voice.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, worst thing for an audio medium.
We've had a series of backup records that didn't go to plan because one of us was like, I'm either sick or sad. And that's fine.
That's fine.
The stakes are low. You guys always come crawling back anyway.
You little worms always come crawling
hungrier
back.
Hungrier than ever.
Yum. The worms are here.
Did you miss this? Did you miss this?
Worms are here. The worms are here. Time for worms. Worm lords. Word queen. Word king. Worm scream.
I'm going to let the listeners in to a little private insight into my life. My love language with Claude is that we sing each other little songs, and here's like our most common song that we sing to each other. Tropical beanie on an island way. Tropical beanie on an island way. Coconut bra on a tropical beanie. Tropical beanie on an island way. And then I pretend that I'm in a little, I'm like, you know, doing cultural appropriation. I'm in a lei and a little like straw skirt.
Yeah.
And I'm on a beach. Yeah. What'd you think of that?
I loved it.
Remember when you used to have a song for me as well? We always do songs. You used to sing, Abby, strong and powerful. It's a hype song.
Also, support team Abby. Support in Abby. She's so lovely. Yeah. And that was like a video I sent you with the cats, with being Cassie.
I feel like our like horrible baby talk has devolved into basically trying to shorten words as much as possible.
Yeah.
So just getting like one syllable out for like a three syllable word. Be like, give me key. Give me the key.
Yeah. I mean, Brooke does that too as well.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I'm no stranger to shortening words. I was literally telling you earlier about how in a writing session with an honored friend of the podcast, Gaydon Souza, I shortened something from a bit nebulous to a bit nebo. Which does sound like a slur.
It really does.
I hate saying it, but, you know, bit nebo.
Bit nebo. Oh, you're a nebo baby.
That's
just
pretty
floating in the ether.
Just fucking floating around. IMDb boss baby is a Nebo baby.
A Nebo baby.
Yeah.
The ultimate Nebo baby.
Wait.
That's actually really good.
Thanks. But, I mean, speaking of pretty good, we actually have an email.
From whomst?
We have an email from friend of the podcast, Shane Anderson.
Oh, Shane.
Yeah. Shout out to Shane. Listen to the Ultraviolet episode to hear my boy.
My baby boy.
My baby boy.
My firstborn boy.
My boy.
My baby boy.
My boy. He's here. Michelle and Abigail, ultraviolet guest and avid listener Shane here with a silly question. The lyrics to your spectacular intro music refer to IMDb smoothies, I hope. And, and so, I'd like to ask, what ingredients would go into each of your ideal IMDb smoothies? Bonus question, if you had to make a themed smoothie for one of your favorite films on the list so far, what would go into that beverage? Love your work, love the podcast. Kind regards, Shane.
I love you, Shane.
Now, Shane, I know that was a bit, but that also isn't even the only recent person I've had message me saying they mistook some of the lyrics in the intro. I also had Ian A. Pierce messaged saying, I just realized the theme song says, worst 250 movies, it shames me to admit. I thought the lyrics was, left sift through these oogies.
Let's sift through these oogies. I really wish that was
were the lyrics. We'll subtly redo it for next week.
We could do with a revamp. It's been 3 years.
Yeah. So your favorite, what ingredients would go into your ideal IMDb smoothie? I feel like base has got to be banana, right? For the yellow.
Yes.
Right?
And for the black, squid ink.
Okay. Banana.
Squid ink.
That's it.
That's it.
Maybe yummy. black sesame.
Yeah, and 3 scoops of protein powder.
Yeah, well, you know.
Just vanilla.
For when you're on that grind.
Yeah, and I'm always on the grind.
Yeah, get that naan and sesame.
Well, he asked what's our favorite smoothie in general, right?
No.
Oh.
What ingredients would go into each of your ideal IMDb smoothies? And then the bonus question, if you had to make a themed smoothie for one of your favorite films on the list, what would go into that smoothie?
Can I make an addendum then to the IMDb themed smoothie?
Yeah, absolutely.
If we're thinking yellow,
mm-hmm.
I reckon you're right, a banana.
Mm-hmm.
I would put in, again, scoop of protein powder, just why not?
Yeah.
A bit of maca powder.
Just when you get your pump on.
That's very nutty and earthy. Mm. Good for the libido.
Good nut.
Good nut. And I'd also put in a bit of peanut butter, also quite golden, yellowy. Some would say orange or brown, but I reckon it's yellowy.
Oh, it's yellowy kinda. Enough. Yeah.
And then I would put in, a couple of something sweet on the end as well. Probably honey on top.
Yeah. And I reckon to keep both yellow and the theme of IMDb in this list, maybe some piss.
Yeah.
I think
It goes without saying.
Goes without. Oh, sorry. I didn't even need to add the piss.
I don't add milk to my smoothie because I'm on a cleanse. Just warm, pure piss. I piss into my Nutribullet.
That's cool.
Put it on high.
It's warm and pure.
Warm and pure.
It's pure piss as in it's mostly water, or it's pure piss as in you're very dehydrated, so it's all just what makes it
the
piss.
The latter. That's what makes it so yellow.
That's what makes it so pure.
Do you ever do a really horrible smelling piss and you look at it and it's deep orange?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't find my piss smells
No,
that
me
much,
neither. No, I don't. No. No, I wouldn't do that.
My pores communicated doing that. Enough for you to want to backpedal like this.
I don't like the shame that you just made me feel. No. That's my job. I do it to you.
Sometimes I piss and then I look at it. And you know, when you do you want to see your achievements and I go, oh my God. And then usually Brooke is like, what? And I'm like, that's some yellow piss.
Mm. Sometimes I piss.
It's gold and then they're bowls.
Sometimes I piss.
Do we have enough time to go into a themed smoothie for one of our favorites?
So what was the other part of the question?
Bonus cue, if you had to make a themed smoothie for one of your favorite films on the list so far, what would go into that beverage?
Okay, I can answer that.
Okay, yeah, sure.
I would do a themed smoothie around Howling 2, Your Sister is a Werewolf. The only film that has, garnered a 10 out of 10 score from me. And just thinking about the themes of... man, monkey, werewolf. I'm thinking something fuzzy and hairy, so maybe some kiwi with the skin on.
That's smart. That's good.
I'm thinking about the bloodshed that was bright red. So I'm thinking food coloring.
Yeah,
just all red.
Not even raspberries
goopy.
Or anything. Just
food coloring.
Yeah, just
like really bright red, vivid food coloring. Mm. And that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Well, I feel like mine would have to be Urban Legends 2. Absolutely.
Oh, you'll have to make a case for that then.
A movie that I thought was good enough to unprompted show honored friend of the podcast, Gaten Sousa, in a pitch of this is a good movie.
What did he say?
He got where I was coming from. I don't think he liked it quite as much as I did, but he got where I was coming
Gaydon
from.
Gaydon is a people pleaser. He'll say anything, you know?
That's true. Maybe he was just indulging me.
I'm calling you out, Gaydon. Don't indulge her.
No. Indulge me. No. I need it.
She needs it.
I need it.
What's the smoothie then?
Oh, I think it would. I mean, there's a lot of red. I would put raspberries and strawberries for the for the blood. What's a fruit associated with a fucking urban legend?
How about a golden egg?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, raspberry, strawberry, and a golden egg. Mm. That works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shane, there you go.
There you go.
Wow.
You happy? Eat up.
Eat up. Yum.
Love. Michelle
my boy.
And
my boy. He's here. I'm holding his mouth open. I'm pouring it in. Drink it up. Drink it up. My boy. My boy. That's right. Now you'll be strong enough to take on the Worm Queen.
So this week... We watched No Segues Needed. You Got Served.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did it. We watched. Literally my first thought about this movie, Steve Harvey's in this?
Yeah.
That was like my first thought.
I don't know much about Steve Harvey.
Sure.
All I know really are like the gifs of him on Family Feud that are all over like Tumblr or some shit, whatever.
He seems very surprised all the time.
Yeah.
He seems like a real family man, which means I know he'd have a problem with me.
He's got a very likable energy to him. Sure. Like, again, I've never really watched him. I've only seen him appear on the internet. And I'm like, what a cool looking guy.
Mm.
But I didn't know he was actually an actor. Like, at all.
Yeah.
I thought he was just like a television personality, I suppose.
I think he pretty much is.
Yeah.
I think he was a comedian more than anything.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe.
Okay.
I thought so. Maybe I could be wrong.
Well, it did have Steve Harvey in it.
Okay.
And also, returning.
Yeah.
Is Omarion, or what's his full name? Granbury. Omari Granbury? Is that his name?
Omari
Granbury. I have to look it up.
Well, but also Marquez Houston.
What was Marquez Houston in?
Both of them were in Fat Albert.
Oh, I didn't realize that Marquez Houston was in it too. What the fuck?
Yeah.
See, I remembered Omarion because he has the most amazing name ever.
Well,
I think I remember seeing it in Fat Albert. His name is, Omari Granbury.
Yeah.
And I saw the name pop up and I was like, oh my God, it's our boy.
It's your boy.
So we've got two returning guys.
Yeah, that's the two crazy. Leads are both returning.
Oh, actually, and I did notice that we had another returning star as well. Let me just find it. I'm pretty sure.
Well, because I saw there was also Jack A. Harry, but I don't think she's been in anything. I kept trying to figure out where I even recognized her.
I'm pretty sure Megan Good was in something that we watched. And Megan Good played Beautiful with two L's.
Oh, Beautiful.
Let me just check. Beautiful. Wait, did you and Gaydon watch One Missed Call?
Yeah.
She was in that.
Oh.
Well, Megan Good.
Wow.
Another all-star.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Some returns. I mean, this film, it was a bit fun.
It was fun. It's a hip-hop dance movie that I feel like had the energy. Okay, I don't know enough about it. You're the one that researched into it.
Mm.
I feel like there's two ways it could be. It could be, you know, semi-cynical, just made to be made, almost like how there would be like a Disney Channel movie, just like flat neutral movie, but this one got a theatrical release for whatever reason. But the energy to me almost felt like fucking student film, but they got to make a whole movie. Which made me like so supportive of it. I'm like, you guys are punching so hard,
and it had good intentions,
and it had good sequences.
There was some really, and the choreography was fun,
great.
Really good.
Those guys
it's
can
just
dance.
The acting was terrible.
Yeah,
and there were bits of like scenes that didn't need to exist, and then the way that they edited the scenes into each other was bizarre. The way that they chose to end scenes was bizarre.
Well, yeah, every scene that was mostly dialogue was truly awful.
Yeah, honestly, it was truly cringeworthy, but I had a good time. And it brought back a whole bunch of nostalgia where, like, we were in that, like, early 2000s era of just dance film after dance film after dance film. We had You Got Served. We had
Step Up 2, Step Up 3.
We had Honey with Jessica Alba. And then also, in a way, we had, what's the film with Kirsten Dunst in it?
Step Up.
No.
There's another one with Kirsten Dunst?
Yeah, she's a cheerleader.
Step Up.
What?
Bring It On?
Bring It On, yeah.
Wait.
Bring It On.
I think I've been getting those movies confused for a while now.
Step Up is like hip-hop dancing, isn't it?
Oh, Bring It On's the one that also has fucking Faith from Buffy. What's her name? Eliza Dushku?
Is she like the curly-haired friend
that
hates her in the film? Yeah.
But then
they bond.
Yeah, yeah,
and
okay.
And then she fucks his brother.
That's... What?
Wait, she fucks her brother. Kirsten Dunst gets together with that girl's brother.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, his name's...
if it's the one where they're cheerleaders, and in particular, like, Eliza Dushku is like, you've been stealing moves from the black cheerleading team.
But
she didn't know.
Yeah.
Right? And so then in the end, they lose to that team because they do the right thing and do
Bring
their
it
own
on
moves.
Is excellent.
And they're like, no, this is perfect. That's a good movie.
It's a good film.
That's a great movie.
The spirit stick bit as well.
Yeah.
I loved Bring It On.
So, it's a good movie, yeah.
There was a whole... And there was also, what was the Antonio Banderas film?
Azaro.
Legend of... where he's teaching kids to dance, like Latin dance moves in New York City. Is it, like, Save the Last Dance?
Puss in Boots?
Spy Kids. Yeah, that's what it
is. Yeah, yeah, sorry. Yeah, my bad.
Anyway, it was a real era.
Yeah.
And it made me feel like I was a kid again, which people I really enjoyed.
People don't dance in movies anymore.
Okay, here's the thing. I feel like the whole film is like, these kids are street kids, you know? They come from a hard life, and they do.
Yeah, they're real street kids.
They do. But there's something to me that is so camp about street, like, dance competitions, where I'm like, at the time... I think when I was a kid, I was like, this is so cool. And as an adult, I'm like, this is like what men did in the 50s in like doo-wop groups.
Yeah.
And we laugh at that shit now. That's what this is.
It's like, it's so intense in the way that like any skill taken to its extreme, you know, like fucking ballet gets cutthroat and like a fine art gets cutthroat. And it's just like people, like rich people painting in a room, you know?
Yeah.
But so it makes sense. But yeah, it's like they're so aggressive about it. And it's like so intimately tied with these other like subcultures. But it is dancing.
It is. It's again, it's like the equivalent of like the way that we laugh at, like 50s doo-wop groups are being like, Marty, doo-wop.
When you're a jet, you're a jet all the way.
Exactly. Yeah. This campness about men in leather jackets that sing on a street corner and like flick, like they have knives, but they're still just singing and dancing together. Yeah. And we're like, how gay is that when we're kids?
Yeah.
And then I watched this film and I was like, this is camp.
Yeah.
This is a bit fruity.
It's a little fruity.
It's
but
a bit fruity.
But it's also very genuinely masculine.
It is, you know,
in a way that isn't fruity. It's both. It straddles the line.
It's tootie and fruity.
Yeah, I say we replace the word straight with tootie.
Yeah. So how do you identify?
Fruity.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
That's why I get out of bed in the morning.
So it was sweet, wasn't it? It was a sweet film.
Yeah. I want to get into talking more about it.
Do you want some key details?
Yeah, baby.
All right. Well, this film came out in
2004.
It had 3.8 stars on IMDb.
Ooh.
We've gone down.
Hey.
It was directed by Chris Stokes, and it was written by Chris Stokes.
Hey.
He's a record executive.
Was he a record executive at the time?
Well, he founded the record label.
Oh, that's different then.
The Ultimate Group.
Okay, that's different
whose
then.
Whose roster included Omarion.
Right.
And B2K, which had, I'm pretty sure, Omarion in it.
Yeah, okay, no, so I'm right. This is a bunch of kids got together and made a movie.
Yeah, it is. It literally is. Wait, I'm sorry, oh, no. Oh, boy. Sorry, I just went on his wiki and there is literally a section just called sexual assault allegations.
Oh, come on.
Bit of a bummer.
Come on. Guys, stop. Guys, stop raping people.
Stop, Michelle.
I just want to be able to like things sometimes and then there's always like some fucking creepy dude ruining the whole thing.
Know.
And I'm like, I just want to like it.
Keep your fucking dick in your pants.
Keep your dick in your fucking pants.
So apparently, you're right, like there were a bunch of kids that were friends. He first became connected with film and television through the talent he managed.
Hey.
In 1992, Marquise Houston made his acting debut in the animated comedy Bebe's Kids. And he received his big break as a regular on Sister Sister in 1994. So they all worked together throughout the 90s. And
they can really dance.
They can really fucking dance.
Yeah.
And so it stars, as we said, Marquise Houston, Omari Granbury, also known as Omarion. These are two big singers and rappers and dancers.
Big being relative.
Also, the film had Lil Kim in it.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
Just
playing Lil Kim. And to be honest, I actually don't think I ever really knew what Lil Kim looked like. I feel like I've never really listened to her music.
No,
and I was
neither.
Like, oh my God, now I can put like a face to the name. I'm so fucking white.
How could you? How could you betray our listenership like this?
Budget? What do you reckon the budget was?
Honestly, something like this, it could like... The way this looks, it would look identical for an American movie if it was shot for anywhere like $500,000 to $5 million. So I'm going to go 2 million.
8 million.
8?
Yeah.
Oh, they wasted 3. They wasted at least 3.
Where'd it go?
Oh, actually, you know what? That whole third act, that's where that 3 went. The first,
I think it was probably just went to securing Lil Kim.
Yeah. The first like 2/3 of the movie are the like $500,000 to $5 million movie. And that third act is like a full legit movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, like that last sequence was really fun. Anyway.
Really good.
What it grossed? What do you think it grossed?
It's on this list though, which means it has 10,000 reviews. So I feel like it didn't just like pass by. People had to know about it.
I remember it. As a kid, I remember like seeing it on free-to-air TV.
20 million.
50 million.
Wow.
Success.
I'm proud of them. I'm genuinely proud of them. They fucking did it, man.
It was actually a commercial fucking success.
That's the dream.
That is the dream.
You get your friends together, you know how to dance, you make a movie.
It got a sequel called You Got Served, Beat the World.
Oh, and it came out. You Got Served 2 is so good. You Got Served, T-O-O.
You Got Served 2.
To not even, that's so disappointing.
And then
I take it all back.
It starts with like Omarion's character. He's grown up a little bit and he's just serving subpoenas. And he's like, where did all my dreams go wrong?
So it's Pineapple Express?
Yeah, it is. He's all about smoking weed and having sex with high schoolers. That's a really weird part of Pineapple Express.
Oh, God, I forgot about that part.
Yeah. Beat the World, by the way, came out.
Keep your dick in your pants.
Tonight's theme, keep your dick in your pants.
Keep your dick in your pants.
Seth Rogen, keep your fucking dick in your pants. Beat the World came out in 2011.
Damn.
So it came out 7 years later.
So much later.
Yeah,
bet it made no money.
Yeah, and it didn't even have the initial cast in it. Like, there's nothing tying them together. It's one of those real loose
Someone bought the rights to the name You Got Served.
Yeah, it was an absolute flop. If anything, I'm surprised that wasn't on the list. I guess no one watched it enough.
Yeah.
So let me give you the overview of this story. Let me hook you guys in, because it's moving.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's great.
Elgin and David are besties.
Elgin.
Oh, is it Elgin?
I'm pretty sure they're saying the whole movie Elgin.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Elgin does sound a little elvy, you know?
It does.
Elgin from the woods of Lothlorien.
His full name, as said in the movie, I wrote it down because it's insane, is Elgin Barrett Eugene Smith III.
Yeah. Okay. Let me start again. Elgin and David are besties who lead a promising dance crew who participate in dance battles. To earn money to enter the battles, they also deliver for a drug lord named Emerald. David begins a romance with Elgin's sister, Leah. Elgin borrows money from his grandmother to enter a battle that they end up losing. Elgin gets a last-minute job from Emerald he is forced to do alone, as David is on a date with Leah. Elgin gets beaten up and robbed, losing Emerald's money. Oh no! He blames David and tells Leah she can't date him. Don't know why. David and Elgin become estranged despite various people's efforts to reconcile them. As Elgin is given a few weeks to get the money he lost back, they create separate crews to train for a competition with a $50,000 reward. On the big day, David's crew slip up and are knocked out of the competition. Elgin ties with their old rivals. David and Elgin make up so they can dance together and win the prize money. Elgin gives David and Leah his blessing to date. The end.
Yeah.
It's a story about friendship.
Well, no, because there's literally a bit where Steve Harvey, who, by the way, you didn't say, plays a character called Mr. Rad.
Mr. Rad. There's only so much I can fit in.
Mr. Rad.
I didn't even talk about Lil' Kim being there.
That's true. Right before he's about to battle the explicitly like stated rich white kids.
For the $5,000 battle?
For the $5,000.
And when he's got the fucking like cop there?
He's got the cop. It's $5,000. It's these rich white kids against people that he knows are just like poor kids.
Yeah.
And the thing he says is, hey, we got to remember, money ain't the most important thing. Friendship is the most important thing. And at the end
and
of this...
you guys aren't friends.
Well, he says, and at the end of this, we're all going to be friends. The complete lack of irony in that moment is incredible to me.
Mr. Rad.
Mr. Rad.
What a great guy.
Who later kind of solves one of the main conflicts of the movie off screen.
Which one?
Okay, so remember, like, Elgin needs the money for Emerald to pay him back. That's why they need the $50,000.
Yeah.
Not, as the tagline said, to open a recording studio. It's to pay off a fucking gang member.
And also, like, to pay back his grandmother, who he borrowed money from. And well, also just to get,
hey,
like...
that's just $5,000, you know.
Well, he borrowed $1,500 from her.
Oh, right.
Well, the other money was like their own. Yeah. But she said, she was like, that's a lot. Yeah. So it's a lot of money for his grandma.
Yeah.
He needs to get it back to her.
He needs to pay off the gangster. And then Mr. Rad, like, the sister, Leah?
Leah.
Is, like, talking to Mr. Rad. And he's like, you know, I've known them for ages. And she's like, yeah, you know, like, part of this whole thing is that Elgin's in trouble with Emerald. And then Mr. Rad's like, don't worry about it. Already solved that. I told the cop about it and don't worry about it. And
you're like, yeah, that's right.
Whoa. But then that's why, like, then the next scene is they find out, like, the kid, the younger brother of one of them, the, like, little kid who follows them around, little Saint,
yeah.
gets shot.
He dies. Such a heavy moment. Yeah. That was actually really sad. And the way, like, that guy's like, he's like my family. Like, I give him clothes, I give him food, I'll give him anything. The young boy Rico that takes care of little Saint, his heartbreak over little Saint dying, I was like, this is the best bit of the movie because it's the most heartfelt.
They killed the kid.
They're genuinely from the streets.
When this movie begins with just like an extended hip hop dance battle, I was not expecting them to kill the little kid.
No, nor did I expect. Okay, this was the highlight of the film for me. I really want to linger on David and Leah and their whole relationship and how cringy it is to watch every scene with them where he's like flirting with her.
Yeah.
He's clearly into her. He can't stop looking at her. There's a bit where she's like, no, really, I gotta walk to the hospital. And he's like, with that figure, girl? I wouldn't have thought. And it's like really strange.
It's the specific kind of flirting where I'm like, yeah. I can't tell if it's cultural or if I'm just too kinda gay weird. For this. I don't understand
I think
this
too
kind
gay,
of flirting.
Maybe,
yeah.
But, you know, I just, anyway. And then there's this bit where they're on their date and she can't, like, Elgin can't get through to him because she's turned off his phone. And it's a montage sequence of Elgin getting the shit beaten out of him. Yeah, that's right. And then her feeding him, like,
salad?
A sundae or a salad, yeah. And it's, like, playing this, like,
big salad.
Yeah, and then playing this, like, R&B song over it. And he and her are, like, giggling at the table. I just thought that was the best scene.
I get why Elgin was mad, but at the same time, like,
he
got called in early. David wasn't late to the job.
Here's the thing. I don't understand at all. Because frankly, if I was trying to get through to someone because of a last minute thing and they just had their phone off and I couldn't get through to them, I'm like, that's not their fault. Yeah, they don't know this is an emergency.
Yeah, because like they know when they're supposed to be here. It's not their fault that
time changed.
Can you imagine
ending a friendship, a really long, important, big friendship because they didn't answer a call? Like, I'm sorry you got beaten up. That was not David's fault.
Yeah.
And David had to be the bigger man and apologize to him. I felt like Elgin was such a prick.
Yeah,
and
also, I think Elgin was being worse.
No, I liked David so much more than Elgin. Yeah. And also, Elgin was so possessive over Leah. It was so weird. He's like, you can't touch my sister. You can't see her again. And he like literally pushes her and hits her.
Yeah.
Being like, don't ever see him again.
But I do like when that gets mentioned in front of the grandma. Yeah. The grandma's just
the grandma's great.
Yeah, she like just immediately tells him off. What does she say? She's like, oh, Elgin.
Like, yeah. She's like, that's disgusting behavior.
Yeah.
I really liked the grandma character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The grandma was great. It's good that no one wanted to indulge that behavior.
And it was so 2004. There's this bit where Leah, and the girl that plays Leah is just beautiful. And she is like, she's the perfect, like, young romantic lead in this 2004 rom-com dance battle film. And she is wearing these like low-rise denim jeans with like a little kind of cropped top.
Yeah.
It is just such a pinnacle 2004 outfit. I'm like, if I had actually watched this when I was like 10 years old or 9 years old when it came out, I would have been fucked up by it. I would have just been fucked up by the outfits and the culture and the vibe. Her best friend, beautiful as well, with like her cute little outfits and just being a bitch.
In 2004, so you would have been like what, like eight?
Nine.
Nine? You would have been nine. You would have been like the culture.
The culture, sweaties.
Culture.
My God, New York. No, LA.
This is one of the least New York movies I've ever seen. Oh, David, we gotta make up.
Turn your phone off.
David, you didn't turn your phone on. Come on. Hey, come on, Elgin. I didn't mean it. We're still going to have a dance battle.
feel like what we're describing is West Side Story. To be fair.
Yeah, that's yeah. true. That's very fair. Well, West Side Story, you got served two titans of the dance
West
movie.
West Side Story is the next one on the list.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get ready.
Again, part of the dance movie genre is West Side Story.
Mm, truly. I went to... No, that's Elvita. Hang on.
Come on, you got this.
When you're a jet, there you're a jet all the way. Good.
You couldn't remember one?
Cigarette.
Sing the one I already sang earlier in this episode.
Shit. I don't know any other West Side Story songs.
Maria? Maria.
You've got to see her. I'll make a confession. I've never seen West Side Story.
Come to America? Where'd it come to America?
I've never seen it. Have you seen it?
I saw the original when I was younger because my grandma liked it. And I was like, this is pretty good. Stuck with me. And then I saw the fucking Spielberg one when it came out. Like, I saw it in cinemas on Boxing Day with darling girlfriend Brooke.
I didn't know there was a Spielberg one.
Oh, well, I mean, it's because it tanked, but it was also like end of 2021. So like cinemas were only like sort of just back. And like, because it was, there was like weird marketing because they were like, it's a remake. It's like, eh. And then also like Ansel Elgort, like more fucking keep your dick in your pants bullshit. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. And so people were like, I don't know. And it's like, I just watched the movie anyway. It is so good. I would argue it's better than the original. Whoa. It has color in it, which is great for a modern movie.
The original has color.
No, I mean, great for a modern movie. I mean, that's not why it's better than the original.
Oh, sorry. Saying. You don't mean it was filmed in color?
No, yeah. I just mean compared to when you go to the cinemas for a lot of movies. They look like sludge.
Right.
Okay, it's very colorful and contrasting. Yeah. It was beautiful. It was like genuinely incredible. Spielberg at some of his best. Mm. The guy fucking knows how to direct a shot. Holy shit. Would recommend.
Dude knows what he's doing.
Spielberg guy knows what he's doing.
You know, speaking of Spielberg, you know what I watched the other night?
What?
Lincoln.
Oh.
I haven't seen it since it came out in cinemas like 10 years ago. And when I saw it, I remember I thought it was really boring because it's really slow and there's a lot of dialogue and there's a lot of chat about basically like American politics that I didn't understand. And then I rewatched it the other night and I blissed out. Mm. It really just tickled that Civil War Lincoln itch I continually have.
Yeah, you were hanging out with Lincoln, if you know what I mean.
There's this bit. I just finished Barry.
Yeah.
Thanks to Gayden Souza's recommendation.
Oh, hi, Barry.
Oh, hi, Barry. It's such a good fucking show. I finished it. It was very emotional. But there's a storyline in it where a certain character gets really into Lincoln. And,
What?
Yeah, a certain character just picks up Lincoln as a hobby.
I have not gotten up to that bit of Barry.
No, it's in season 4.
Okay.
And Claude kept being like, my God, it's you. tricky legacy that guy has. Anyway.
Yeah, Spielberg, that guy should keep making movies. He's pretty good at it.
He's not bad.
Did you hear about this guy?
Yeah, he's a bit underground.
It's like I've heard about what's his name? Martin Chorchese?
Chorchese.
He makes some pretty good movies.
Have you heard of Chris Nolan?
Oh, Chris Nolan?
Yeah, Chris Nolan.
He made a Batman. One of the Batman?
Yeah, just one of them.
Made one of the Batman?
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
What's the Prestige.
The Prestige.
The Prestige.
The Prestige.
Prestige. Is this?
Fuck, I love The Prestige. This the is prestige? Bad radio.
Oh, fuck.
This is bad radio. That's what it is.
I know. Prestige is one of your favorite movies.
I love it so much.
You're why I've seen The Prestige. No, I think I'd already seen it.
There's so many people that would put The Prestige at like the bottom of their Nolan list.
That's crazy.
Fuck you all. That's it is crazy. So good.
Absolutely one of his best.
I would rate it top anytime.
For
it
me, it's tops... probably like Interstellar and then The Prestige.
Yeah.
I love Interstellar so much.
I really loved Interstellar. I loved Dunkirk.
Dunkirk is really good.
It was really, really good. You know who hated it? Fucking Claude.
That's so weird.
I know. He said he didn't like the Tom Hardy storyline. I'm like, why?
Why not?
Also, that's such a minor storyline in it. Yeah. Like, it's beautiful and it links it all together, but it's also like the smallest part of the film.
The way some people watch movies infuriates me.
Yeah, like, you would hate Claude's takes. You think I've got bad takes? I married the king of bad takes.
Oh, no. That's why he's not guesting on this podcast.
I know. There's two contrarians that got married. It's me and Claude. We fight about everything.
You know what we got to stop doing in this moment, though? Because, like, this is good, but all we've been doing for the last like 10 minutes is the ice cold takes of Spielberg's pretty good, Scorsese's good. You know, I think The Prestige is pretty good.
You know what I didn't think was that good? It was this film.
Oh, no. Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun.
Good. The third act, though, fucking kind of slaps. Like,
and Lil' Kim was really fun as a cameo.
She was really fun. It was kind of better filmed and directed as well. It's almost like they got a budget infusion halfway through.
Budget infusion. Plug it into my veins. Yeah.
You are budget. It's meant to be, I guess, RoboCop. but, like, the whole final dance... These kids can dance.
Yeah.
Like, because sometimes you watch bad dance movies, just as much as bad singing movies, but I feel like there's a lot of people who can sing very well, but you don't care because they don't sing very emotionally.
Yeah.
So it's like, whatever. But I feel like there's also a lot of people who, like, can dance pretty good.
Mm.
And when it's, like, a big thing in the movie, it's then kind of embarrassing that they're not dancing good enough. These guys really danced.
There's a bit in, like, I think the opening dance scene where, like, he flips off of a guy's chest and I lost my fucking mind.
There's a bit after, was it Toya and the other lady joined the team? Toya and Kiki joined the team where they, like, some of the guys get down and like, have their knees up and then they put their hoodies over the knees and do, like, a little dance with that. That was really great.
Yeah.
Genuinely. Also, in one of those early scenes after those two join, the crew is so big.
Mm.
It literally made me think of one of my favorite gags in The Good Place in season 3, where we see Jason Mendoza's backstory, where he like tells his big dance crew, like, we'll do it, we'll get everyone. And then the gag is that he comes out and does this dance, and then like 30 other people come out and like flood the whole stage. And they do a great dance, and then the announcer's like, that was great, but you guys are disqualified. The teams have to be of 8.
Yeah.
That felt like what the scene was, unironically.
The Good Place was so good.
Yeah, it's a good show.
You know who didn't like The Good Place?
Oh,
Claude.
You gotta be kidding me.
He's terrible.
That's terrible.
Let me just rag on Claude.
What does he
this
like,
episode.
Young Sheldon?
He likes me. And that's the worst taste of all.
You're Young Sheldon?
That's me. How'd you know?
Yeah, I picked it out. They've been keeping the actor that plays young Sheldon a mystery for years now, and it's you.
It's me. It's you. I just walk on my knees, and I shave my head for the role.
You put a hoodie over your knees.
Yeah, and I bind.
Yeah.
Tuck my titties away. Adorned with a bow tie, I'm good to go.
You know a lot about how young Sheldon dresses. Well, that makes sense.
It's my favorite show.
You play the role.
And it's your favorite show, too. Yeah. We watch it every night. Claude congratulates me on what a good job I've done.
Every time young Sheldon successfully says a joke, he's like, good job, hon.
I actually pause it so that he can say good job, hon, and we don't miss a beat. Don't miss a beat.
You don't want to miss one of those lines.
Fuck. But this film was sweet.
Yeah, it was sweet, ultimately.
Do you want to hear some trivia?
Oh, yes, please.
Yes, please. Listen, I couldn't really find that much trivia on this film. There wasn't that much that was very interesting about it.
That kind
of
makes sense.
Something I did like that I found. All of the film's battles were very competitive in real life.
Oh.
The fight that breaks out during the first battle with Wade's crew was not in the script.
Oh.
But everyone was so mad at each other that they just started fighting.
Whoa.
While filming the opening battle, the director would yell cut, but Omarion kept battling with Columbus Short. Omari does a backflip, while at the same time Columbus does a move that looks like he is pulling David up. This was not in the original choreography. It was a true battle.
Whoa.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
I love that they were getting really into it and, like, didn't want to stop.
Yeah. I mean, there was the whole bit as well where what's-his-name fucking betrays them.
Sonny.
Sonny, yeah. Sonny betrays them, who... I kind of wish Sonny was in the back half of the movie more.
I know. I thought there was going to be a redemption thing with Sonny.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, I feel like he's also, like, black and from the streets, and I really thought he would come back being like, these fucking white kids don't get it.
Yeah, even just, like, a thing where after David and Elgin win, you know, like, Wade says something weird, and then Sonny looks at them and, like, clearly, like, gives up on them because he's like, these guys don't get it.
Yeah, right? Also, I love how the villains... in it, like Wade, they were just like, all the white boys looked like they could have been in Sum 41.
Yeah, they were fucking straight out of Sugar Ray. You know?
Yeah. And now I know what that is.
Yeah, now you know.
This podcast. Yeah. They literally had like the gelled little spiky bits in their hair. God, that was nothing like the early 2000s.
Yeah, really. It really was a time.
Yeah.
That was the fucking peak of American culture for sure.
I know that fashion is cyclical and it makes sense that 20 years on, we are now going back to a lot of early noughties fashion. But it does pain me because it's just so ugly.
You know why it pains me?
Why?
Because there's a specific thing that keeps happening recently, which is I'm watching things with friends that are either set in the 90s or from the 90s, yeah. right? And then one of them will go, hey, they're dressed pretty gay because, you know, we just want more queer content. And I have to go, no, they're just dressed like it's the 90s.
Yeah.
And that's how queer people dress right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, they're like, oh, they're wearing like a wide fit, like low rise jean and they've got little bunches. And it's like, that's just what straight girls wore in 1998.
Yeah, that's
doesn't
just...
doesn't mean they're gay.
It's just, I'm sorry, it's not gay. I'm it's just sorry. The 90s.
Buffy wasn't gay.
Well...
Willow was gay.
Yeah, Willow was gay. Buffy wasn't gay, but she seems gay because it was the 90s.
Yeah.
The 90s was truly the most sapphic time there is.
With those eyebrows, those lips, that lipstick, I don't think so.
You know what I said to Brooke the other day and I stand by it?
What?
I would have killed in the VHS era. You know, I have self-image issues, but every time I'm like, I take a fuzzy picture of myself, you know, or it's a little blurry, I'm like, I look great. I would have killed when everything was a little soft.
I totally agree. I feel like I look amazing in Kodak film, like photos, and then I see anything taken on an actual iPhone. I'm like, oh my God, does my skin really look like that?
Yeah, or like a DVD, but it's like a low quality transfer. Yeah.
Blu-ray? Ma'am, no, thank you.
We're going to release this podcast on DVD.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, on Super 8 footage. Yeah.
Yeah.
With the camera under my bed. And here's the one other piece of trivia I have. Originally written with a heart in mind for, oh, fuck, I can never say her name. Is it Alia?
Alia Shawkat?
No, like Alia, that singer that died.
I don't know. I don't know who you're referring to. And so I will not comment on it.
Okay. I'll just have to guess. Originally written with a part in mind for Alia, who was killed in a plane crash in 2001. Alia was like this big star in the early 2000s. I think she dated... Okay, well, actually, I don't want to say this if I don't know. I think she dated Tupac.
If you get it wrong, you know the consequences.
I'm a racist.
No, I was going to say Abby gets dunked in the pool of fortune.
No! No, it wasn't. She was illegally married to R. Kelly, which is horrible.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
But she was
that
a really
was
famous. Yeah, it's really grim. She was a really famous singer and she ended up dying really young in, I think it was like a crash, in a plane crash.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just like Yellow Jackets.
Which you've told me about.
Which I was just telling you about.
I have to watch.
That's a joke, I guess, for just you.
Yeah. Do you want to hear some reviews?
I'd love to.
This film has 14% on Rotten Tomatoes. Here's a review left by Peter Debruge.
Peter.
From Premier Magazine. Peter.
I've never done a Family Guy reference in my
it's
life.
It's TikTok, isn't it?
But in the last 2 days, I've done that twice.
Is it TikTok?
Maybe. I hope so. I fucking hate Family Guy.
I know.
I cannot live with myself if I do that again a third time.
The day you start quoting Stewie from Family Guy, I'm putting a bullet through your head. It's like it's an honor killing.
Yeah, that's like in Walking Dead. Like, I've started to turn.
You I have find, to do it, Laurie.
You find me like a child in a barn, fucking quoting Stewie, Family Guy.
Find like hidden files of Family Guy downloaded to your computer. Before shooting begins. Okay, sorry, let's go back. This is Peter Debruge's.
You got this. You got this. You can do this.
So this is a review by Peter Debruge from Premier Magazine.
Ooh.
Before shooting began, the dancers rehearsed for 8 weeks to develop off-the-hook new dance moves, which begs the question, who was working on the script during that time?
Damn, that's brutal, but accurate. It's not inaccurate. Yeah.
Here is also a review left by Robert K. Elder. For the Chicago Tribune.
Sounds like the whitest people were reviewing this movie.
Yeah, it's Peter Debruge and Robert K. Elder.
Yeah, good. Now, I see why they might not have liked it.
To be fair, we both have very white sounding names.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Michelle St. Clair.
Yeah, that's true.
And Abigail Ward.
Yeah.
Robert K. Elder wrote, commits a variety of cinematic sins, none fatal individually, but collectively enough to pull an audience under.
Mm.
Here is a review left on IMDb. 10 out of 10 review. Left by Theotzi and called the most enjoyable dance movie for me.
Ooh, just for me, Theotzi.
For me. Humble.
Just for me, the Otzi.
He's for me. The Otzi.
Ithiotsi, just live for me.
Live up in the mountain, Ithiotsi.
Live here in Iceland. I am Ithiotsi. This movie is perfect, but just for me.
We can't go in the Goofy Zone because we're so close to finishing. This movie is way better than Step Up 1, 2, and 3 and Whoa. Other dance films like those. Way better. And after I saw it, I start to watch the other movies of that kind with a, quote, different eye, quote, question mark.
What?
It's the dances are awesome and the choreograph's great. The music in it also. I can't understand why this movie is so underrated. Okay, the scenario about competitions is a little bit cliche. But even if it is, I really liked this movie. It is not a love story. Again, like always, the strong part of it, like the most movies of this kind, it is about music and the passion of dancing.
It's actually
about music.
I've never seen a dance movie less involved with music.
It's about the music and the dancing. And the battle seemed too real to be fake, that you could make you want to.
What?
Then I saw an interview.
The dance battle seemed too real to be fake.
Then I saw an interview of David who said it was so real, the whole thing in that dance ring, that everyone wanted to battle and win for real, even when we knew the winner from before. And it seems exactly like that to a viewer who watches it. If you like hip-hop music and dancing, then you have got to see You Got Served for sure. I have seen it about 9 to 10 times.
I have seen it about 9 times.
I can see it more in the future. It's ominous. Trust me,
seen it more in the future.
The most realistic and awesome hip-hop dance movie ever. 10 out of 10 from Ithiotsi.
From Ithiotsi.
Come the here, most Gudrit. Enjoyable dance movie for me.
For me.
Here's a review left by Pop to the Fresh. 10 out of 10, called Easily the Best Movie Ever Made.
Whoa.
This was left in February 2005, so a real retro one. This movie represents all that is good and righteous in our worlds today. With worlds.
Worlds.
Guys transcending realms.
Shit.
Without these great actors, nay gods, I would be a lost and wandering soul. The servage per square inch in this movie was near infinity.
Oh, boy.
And some might argue that it has achieved a level that even the FDA wouldn't consent to. Basically, if you are unsure about watching this movie, you're a bigot. Great representations of our society don't come along very often. When I wake up and I go to school, I say to myself, what would Elgin do? I give you, You Got Served. It's a 10 out of 10, but that rating doesn't do it justice.
No, Marquez Houston's fucking agent wrote that.
What would Elgin do?
What would Elgin do?
And here is a review left by Victorious T. 10 out of 10, called I Love and Enjoy This Film Always.
I am the Victorious T.
I love and enjoy this film always.
I live next to the Ithiotsi.
Victorious T and the Ithiotsi. I never got the chance to watch this film till this year. You might wonder why, but it is complicated and long. When I finally got the chance to watch it, I was so excited I could hardly sit. The dance steps were great and quite unbelievable for people like me that cannot dance. Sometimes I try to do the dance steps. When I watched the movies, one of my friends watched it with me and got a little angry with me because of my restlessness. I love the movie to the extent that I can watch it over and over again just in a day. A big high five for the actors, actresses, and producer, just the one, including every other person that helped in the production. Bye. Love, Toyin.
Crying, weeping, watching Toyin.
My friend got angry at me because I was too restless.
Toyin,
please.
Stop, please. I just want to dance.
Complicated.
was a little complicated.
Well, Michelle, that was Victorious T's review. What's your review?
It can't be that high. I kind of, honestly, I think this is a 6.5.
Really?
Like, parts of this movie are bad. 3.8.
3.8 is pretty low. Like, it actually, so true. In that, like, when I was just thinking about the fact that it had a sequel, I was like, surely the sequel should be on this list, but not this.
Yeah, like, 3.8 is fucking harsh on this. Think of some of the shit we've had to watch. Like, not just like, stuff that makes me, like, mad, but some of the stuff that, barely competent to non-competent filmmaking. This is fine. Some of the dialogue scenes are rough, and some of the sound design in particular is not great.
Mm.
You know, I'll lower it from 6.5 to 6, but like 6, you know, like it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'd watch it. If I saw it as a kid, I'd remember it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You know, I would actually give it like a 5.5.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Like, I think it's better than average.
Yeah.
For what we're used to.
I had a good time at the very least.
I don't even know why we're bothering to give out ratings. I just don't think that we're like good sources anymore. Like, I don't think we're,
but as we've said before, we're part of the macro study.
I know.
It's not just that we're doing it to study the movies.
We're doing it
the study is also on what happens to your brain.
It rots, Michelle.
It rots. From the very core.
From the very core. It falls apart.
Yeah.
Turns to mush.
Yeah.
So that's what happens.
I mean, okay. You gotta imagine me last week, like, voice croaky, desperately saying, like, no, it'll get better by the afternoon. It didn't. Watching this, I had a good time.
It was way more uplifting than a lot of the films we have to watch.
Oh, yeah. I didn't want to cry once while watching this.
I had a way better time watching this than I would have had watching A Good Year. So it's definitely a 5.5.
Honestly, not wanting to cry while watching it, that's an instant 3.
Great, fantastic.
For this list.
No sexual assault.
Oh, that's 4.
No transphobia.
5? Yeah, see?
Yeah. Well, guys, hello.
Hi.
We've got...
We should be better at this. We should be better at this bit.
Well, I have to stop doing wells. Well. Boy, oh boy.
Just
say
it. Just get into it.
Let's go. Guys, we have social media.
Yeah, we do.
And if you enjoyed this episode, you should follow us on it. We're on TikTok. We're on Twitter under Rate Descend Pod. We're on TikTok under Rating Descending, or you can email us at ratingdescending@gmail.com with any more smoothie inquiries.
Yeah, or you can find us on our own personal social media. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at michelle.stclair.
You can find me on Instagram under Abigail J. Ward.
And pretty, if you've done all that and you're like, how could I possibly give more? You guys don't have like merch or anything. What could I do to show my love? Well, you could leave us a review.
It really makes a difference.
It really does.
Well, Michelle, that was You Got Served. What are we watching next week?
Next week, we are watching The Cat in the Hat.
Yeah, boy! I've watched it like 100 times.
Oh, yeah!
I'm so jealous you got it.
Yeah.
I've also
watched it many times.
It was genuinely like one of my favorite films in Year 7. I'm not kidding. My whole friendship I had with a guy was based on quoting Cat in the Hat.
Wow.
Yeah. Me and Connor Williams.
You guys still friends?
Nah.
Yeah.
The foundations were not solid.
Those are rotten, much like our fucking minds.
Once you get to 13 and you realize Cat in the Hat wasn't as funny as you thought, everything falls apart.
Well, see you then.
Bye. Woo.